I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him and to our Lord, for he will abundantly pardon.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you all. And if you're visiting with us, I just want to take a minute, welcome you, let you know that as long as you're with us, we consider you a part of our family. And I just want to let you know that if there's any way we can help you spiritually, we would be honored and proud to be able to help you in your spiritual needs. Last week, I talked about, our study was out of Proverbs 24, I believe it's 30 through 34, where Solomon gives us some insight on the writing of a proverb. He says, I walked by the vineyard of a sluggard and the field of a man who lacked sense, and its walls were broken down, and the thistles and weeds were overgrown. And he's like, I looked at that and I took instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty comes like a vagabond. And there's this picture of the decay of carelessness, the decay of not doing what you need to be doing. And one of the questions we asked during that lesson is, how did I get here? Really, that's kind of the thing that Solomon asked. When he saw this situation, he said, how did they get here? And that was a question I was really asking myself last week, is how did I get here? How did I end up where I am? And with this some neglect and some problems that come from neglect. And when I started, I said I was teaching to myself, and I was. But many people afterwards came and just mentioned to me, yeah, I appreciated that. That meant something to me, too. I feel like we all have those sorts of things in our lives that we need to change. And there are times in our lives when our eyes are opened to those sorts of things that need to change. And so the question I want to ask is, well, when that happens, how do we move forward with it? How do we make that change? I chose the scripture reading we did this morning, Isaiah 55, 6 through 7. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In those moments of your life when you ask yourself the question, how did I get here? How did this happen? How did this come to be? The message from Isaiah is, you can change. You can change your ways. It is possible. And the Lord, while the Lord is near, take action. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How do I make that change? What do I do? And we're going to use Nehemiah. We've been teaching that in our Sunday morning class. Not everybody's in the class, but Nehemiah's been on my mind. Is so what a inspirational example of doing the right thing. Really, that's what Nehemiah, and if you just boil it down, he did the right thing. He did what he needed to do. And the first thing we see in Nehemiah is this eye-opening experience that he went through. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 1. I want to read verses 3 and 4. So Nehemiah's brother comes back from Judea and gives a report. What's going on in Judea? Nehemiah asks his brother. And this, the answer his brother said is verse 3. The remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem was broken down. Its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. for I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah had his eyes opened to a bad situation. Really, that's what you see happening. Nehemiah was living in his own life. He was seems to be very prosperous in what he was doing. He was in a very trusted position, a position of some power, even though he was a slave, because he had access to the king. He was the cupbearer to the king. Not many people get near a powerful monarch like Artaxerxes was, but Nehemiah had that access. And the monarch knew him well enough, because when Nehemiah was sad, the king recognized that. So Nehemiah was in this elevated position in a lot of ways. And he wasn't sensitive in this case, in his case, he wasn't sensitive to the well-being of his own people back in Judea. He didn't know what was going on. He wasn't real, maybe he wasn't involved in it as much as he thought he should. But truthfully, what ended up happening is Nehemiah's eyes were opened. He saw what was going on that he and felt like he needed to help. He needed to make a change. He needed to do something different. There was some repentance that Nehemiah needed to have. He didn't think that his involvement in the people of God was sufficient at the time. Paul talks about this idea here of that when your eyes are open, you look at yourself and you say, I need to repent. In 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 through 11, it says, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. Corinth had a problem of accepting somebody who was in sin, and they just open arms accepted him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what Paul says about that is, you should not have accepted him. I say this to your shame. You guys are acting absolutely wrong, and it's just disgusting what you're accepting in your congregation. Well, when the people of Corinth heard it, what we're reading here in 2 Corinthians 7 is their response to that. Their hearts were broken. They didn't, for one reason or another, they didn't realize, or they weren't thinking about what they were doing. But when their eyes were opened, their hearts were broken. And that broken heart that was not broken by consequence or a bad situation you're in, but broken by the Word of God. I think that's really the thing that happens here, is the Word of God broke their heart. And the Word of God challenged them to do better. And Paul said, you guys, without regret, move forward in doing the right thing. And that's really this picture I see with Nehemiah. His eyes are opened, and his heart is broken. And ultimately, if he had been, I guess I might be jumping ahead a little bit in my notes, but his hearts were broken. This condition of opened eyes is something Jesus talked about frequently in his ministry. This was one of Jesus' sort of underlying foundational messages. He talked about this many, many times over. But if you open your Bible with me to Matthew 13, we see Jesus using this concept of opening up your eyes and seeing what's going on in the Word of God while he's preaching. And we're familiar with the story. Many of us are anyway. But look with me in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 14. So Jesus teaches the parable of the soils, and then his disciples come and ask about this parable later on, and Jesus is answering them regarding the parable of the soils. And in verse 14 it says, in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Now Jesus is saying there are some who are going to hear the gospel and nothing is going to happen. It's just going to fall on hard ground. The birds are going to come snatch it away. There are some who are going to hear and receive it with joy and then burn out quickly. There are some who are going to hear and the entanglements of life and concerns and wealth and that sort of thing, it's going to choke it out. But there's this group of good soil people who are going to hear the word, and that word is going to sprout and bear fruit. Okay, so that's what Jesus is talking about here. The different conditions of the heart that receive the word of God. In Matthew 13, where are we? Verse 18, it says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away. So the sower sows the word. The sower is the person who's speaking the word of God, right? And so someone heard the word of God. How did they respond? You see all these different responses, but look in verse 23 with me. The one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit, brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. When we open our eyes, when we have those moments of clarity, when we hear scripture and say, hey, wait a minute, how did I get here? That's me. That's talking about me. That's talking about my condition. Maybe I need to do something to change. Maybe I should do better. What the Lord is saying there is, in those moments when your eyes are opened and you understand, your heart is good soil. Your heart is good soil. When your heart is broken and you have sorrow over the sin in your life, and you realize, I need to repent, a sorrow that leads to repentance, that is saying your heart is good soil. So you have this rich, good, beautiful black soil with depth. What should you do with soil like that? What should we do with soil like that? You have that in your farm. What do you do with soil? You plant seeds in it, don't you? Isn't that what we need to be doing with that kind of soil? And when your eyes are open, those moments in your life, that's the time that the Word of God can be sown and take root. That's what we need to realize. We cannot let those opportunities in our life slip through our fingers, right? This week in my house, we've had conversations about these very things. We should do some things better. How do we do that? This is a time when we have rich, dark soil in our home, right? It's a time to sow the word. So how do we get that word sown, and how does it take root? The first thing we need to realize is that there is some repentance that's involved. You notice what Nehemiah did. He heard it, and let me turn back there real quick. Verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Immediately, Nehemiah said, I need to seek the favor of God. And he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and he was praying for repentance. If you were doing it God's way, right? You look in your life and you're doing it God's way, you'd have no need to change, right? And a lot of times we look at ourselves and we think, well, maybe I'm doing it right, or I got it God's way. In Revelations 3, 16 through 19, this is the talking about the church of Laodicea. And the church of Laodicea, they thought they saw. They thought their eyes were opened. But what the Lord says to them is, I'll start in verse 15. It says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove, and my discipline and I discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Laodicea had that problem, right? They weren't seeing themselves. And the Lord exposed. He's like, you think you're rich, but you're actually miserable. Here's what you do about that. Get gold from me. Get clothing from me. Get medical care from me so you can actually be the things you think you are. And be repent zealously is what he says. And that's the first thing we need to do. When your eyes are opened, we need to repent zealously and go to our Lord in prayer. When you realize you've been doing the wrong thing, you need to seek God's blessing. And so prayer is how we seek God's blessing by request. Right? We ask, God, please help me. Please be with me. And prayer provides this great thing, this providence in our life. When Nehemiah was praying, he, in the end of Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, it says, O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight and revere in your name, and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Nehemiah needed to move forward, but he needed the Lord's blessing in order to have success, and he recognized that. So he sought success through the Lord's blessing. He sought wisdom through the Lord's blessing. When Nehemiah prayed, he said, the king said, what do you need? And Nehemiah prayed to God, right? He needed wisdom to know what to say. He needed faith and faith. When you pray, you see the Lord working in your life, and sometimes you don't know the answers you need. Right? Sometimes you don't know everything, and so you pray to God for wisdom, and you see Him working, and you see Him answering your prayers, and that builds faith. Nehemiah, when he had success, he went and told people, look what the Lord is doing. Look what the Lord is doing, because He's given me these successes. Prayer gives us encouragement and confidence. Confidence in God, confidence to move forward. When you look at yourself and you say, I've been messing up so much, I need to do better. It's in prayer that you're going to find the encouragement and confidence to move forward. And we also need to be bold enough to pray that our weaknesses are exposed. You see, we realize I was blind and now my eyes have been opened, but is there something else I don't see here? Is there more to the story? Do I need to see more? Prayer will expose those things for you. Prayer will help you to get the whole job done. And so when we pray, we're going after God's blessings by request. Lord, please bless me in all these areas. Help me to be successful. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 26, it talks about, in the same way, the Spirit also knows it helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So you see this picture here of the Spirit hears our prayers. He knows our weakness. He suffers with us and prays the things that we don't know to pray. And then also, we know God causes all things to work together for good, right? We know that God does that. How He does it, we don't know, but we know He does. And then look in verse 30 and 31, or 31 and 32 with me. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Do you want God to be for you? Do you want him to give you all things? We get that through prayer. That is one avenue we seek God's blessings, right? God will bless us for everything we need for success, but we need to ask him for it. So prayer is the immediate, first, important response, a repentant prayer, and a prayer that seeks zealously to do the right thing. I heard this yesterday, and this is totally plagiarized, but I just appreciated this saying. I was thinking about it yesterday evening. It says, without God, you can't. Without you, God won't. This is a pretty good concept of how does grace come about? Can you take care of your own sin by yourself? Absolutely not. There's nothing we can do to earn it, right? God does everything for us we can't do for ourselves. That's kind of a similar concept here. And without you, if you don't step up to the plate, then God won't, right? The example, the person I heard say this, he was talking about a garden. He was comparing his dad's garden and his own garden. His backyard is kind of dead and weedy and bare patches, but his dad has this very lush garden. Well, what's the difference? He said, my dad cultivates the soil, puts in seeds, puts in extra care, and this beautiful garden grows. He doesn't do any of that work, and he never gets a garden. Now, man can't cause the seed to grow, but he can prepare the soil, right? And that's that concept. It's the same thing with our hearts. We can't cause seed to grow, but we can prepare a good soil, can't we? And that's what prayer does, is it's part of us preparing good soil for God's word to take root and to flourish and grow. The next thing we see in Nehemiah, and we see this sort of infused throughout chapter 1, is this seeking of the scriptures. In Nehemiah, what he says is, he prays in a language that's reflective of the language of God's promises. So you might look in Deuteronomy and see where God says, if you don't follow my ways, I will scatter you, but if you turn back, I will bring you guys back together to this land. Nehemiah says, Lord, you said you would scatter us, and you did. But now we repent, and we need you to bring us back together. He knew the will of God, and he sought out the will of God. Turning to the scripture is seeking God's blessing through knowledge of his ways. If God says, if you do these things, I will bless you. We had if God says, if you do these things, I will bless you. And you find out what those things are and do them, what do you suppose is going to happen? God's going to bless you, right? God gives us promises, and he's faithful to keep those promises. And if we need to grow, then we need to seek out God's ways. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I really appreciate this because there's all different ways, right? Our eyes are open in all different ways. Sometimes it's physical things, right? Sometimes it's situations in our life that we have not managed well. Sometimes there's spiritual things we need to take care of. But what 2 Peter 1 says for us is, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God's word has provided you can live your life righteously. You can do righteous things in any avenue of life based on what the scripture teaches us. Wisdom, whatever you need, we have everything. And you can be godly minded, have a godly heart, have a pure, loving heart, just like Jesus, if you would perfectly follow the will of God. Right? We have everything for life and godliness. Now, I don't know that we're capable of doing those things, but it's possible through the scripture. And so, when we go to the scripture, we're seeking God's ways. In Jeremiah 26:13, it says, now therefore, amend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will change his mind about you, the misfortune which he has pronounced against you. On Wednesday night, Fred gave us a message, and one of the things he read several scriptures where Moses implored the Lord, and the Lord changed his mind about the judgment he pronounced on the people. I thought that was encouraging, and this scripture goes along with that. He's like, you might realize that you need to repent, and you might realize what I'm doing now, the wages of this thing is death. But if you obey the voice of God, he will change his mind about you. Isn't that an encouraging statement? If you obey the voice of God, well, what are you doing when you seek the scripture? Seeking the scripture, God's will. You're obeying God's voice when you let the scripture change you. That's what that looks like. That's what that is. So whatever you need to change in your life, the voice of God is in the scripture, and it will change us. So here's what we need to do, because this is the challenge. You say, go to the scripture. Okay, fine, I'm going to go to the scripture. What do I do? The first thing you need to do is identify what you need to correct. I have an illustration. I need to look at it so I'll remember all these things. When I had my Ford, there were times when it did hard starts when it was cold outside. So I go out to my truck, I turn it over, it just turns over, but it won't quite start. So I need to fix it. Where do you start on something like that? Here are some problems I had. The battery. A lot of times, hard starts when it's cold outside, your battery is not putting out enough juice, you need to get your battery replaced. Also, it can be a glow plug issue. Your cylinders aren't heating up. I've had fuel gelling issues before. So it's freezing outside, the diesel turns into a gel, it won't flow, so you have fuel gelling issues. I've had a plugged fuel filter. I've had water in the fuel filter. And I've had my fuel injection control module go out. So, same problem. Lots of different things, right? Changing the fuel injection control module, draining water out of the fuel filter, and changing the battery are totally different jobs, right? So you got a problem, and you need to go to the scripture to fix it. What's the first thing you need to do? This is where one of the things prayer can give you wisdom in. You need to decide what's the problem that needs to get fixed, right? You need to diagnose. Spend some time meditating, praying about it. Maybe talk to people about it. I have this problem. How do I go about it? Because you got to get specific, right? Once you know the battery, you can start planning out tools, right? On a Ford truck, you need a 10-millimeter wrench to change the battery. You need a socket with a long extension because there's a little screw that's way down deep. You can't get it out with a regular wrench. So there's a few things you need, but it's pretty easy to do. But once you know the problem, you can go for the solution, right? You can fix it. That's the same sort of thing. We need to pray. We need to diagnose. We need to define the challenges we're facing. If you can define, okay, what is the challenge I'm actually facing? What is the source of it? You have to do that first, right? Define the problem. Get and identify what we need to correct. Once you identify what you need to correct, ask yourself the question, what does the scripture say about this? Right? If everything pertaining to life and godliness can be found in the scripture, there are scriptures that will address the challenges that you face. Mark 4:14 says, the sower sows the word, right? So your heart is prepared, the soil is good. Now it's time to start putting the word of God, that precious seed, into that soil. Now the challenge with that is, well, what scripture do I look at? There are a lot of scriptures in the Bible, and you're limited in your ability to read through them all. So when I prepare sermons, I have some tools available to me. If I have Greek word or word understanding problems, there's tools for that. There are tools for, okay, this word I'm looking for, how many times, where does it occur in the Bible, what are the root words? I have tools for that sort of. So there's all these different tools I have, but something I found to be extremely helpful is if you go online, this is just a screenshot I made this morning. Say you diagnose your challenge. Okay, I need to pray more consistently. You can't read it, But this is just a Google search page. Right here it says scripture about consistent prayer. I use this all the time because there are people who go through and write these lists of scriptures. And a lot of times there are scriptures that I wouldn't have found in a technical concordance or those sorts of searches. But when you got thinking people who, oh, I remember a scripture, and they put that one in there, they come up with a pretty good list. And if you look at the results, this is just the first, I just type in the search, here are the results, I took a screen capture and put it on my PowerPoint slides. What does the Bible say about praying without ceasing? Open Bible. Open Bible is actually pretty good about just giving a, here's a scripture that says something about that. Here, 30 Bible verses about prayer. Consistent persevering in prayer, Reformed Bible study. So that one I would throw out. Bible verses about pray without ceasing. I opened that one up. It was pretty good. A lot of scriptures, ones that I may not have considered about praying without ceasing. So if you identify the problem, this is something anyone can do. Scripture about plug-in, or here's another one, resisting temptation scripture. Here again, people go through 28 top Bible verses about temptation, 34 verses about temptation resisting, 10 verses about resisting temptation. So you get the point. It's pretty easy. If you want to know a scripture that addresses the challenge you're facing, then if you Google it, I found that to be one of the best ways to get a condensed list of scripture. And then once you have that condensed list of scripture, if you would just read it, read the scripture in context, so the ones you like, get an understanding of what's being said there, it's pretty helpful. So that's one tool you have. So you need to have some scripture finding tools. Read the Bible. Reading the Bible is it's just something that needs to be part of your life. That's how the word gets in. You read it. Memorize scripture. This is not something that is culturally as acceptable as it used to be, but memorize scripture is such a helpful thing. I think that it is good just as far as a practice for keeping your mind sharp, but also it's really nice to have that Word of God in your mind when you need it and available. Study, right? That's something you can do. The study is a little bit different than reading because you're finding out what exactly does this mean, how does it tie to the context around it, and how does it tie to the context of the Bible. So study is something. When you pray, include scripture in that prayer. That's something you can do. So just like Nehemiah did, Lord, this is what you said, please do it. We can pray that way too, that generally memorized scripture would be handy in that context. And use scriptural solutions. When the Bible says to do something, do those things. Right? That's what in 2 Corinthians, what Paul was talking about there. So let me see. Get past that. I could have gone forward. All right. The last thing to do, the last step here, is move forward. It's easy to make all these plans. You get the scripture you need. You get a battle plan. But we need to move forward. Nehemiah 1:11 through 2:10, this is what we see. In one thing Nehemiah does, he sets a start date. It's interesting. Nehemiah 1:1, it says it was the month of, Kislev. And in Nehemiah 2:1, it says the month of Nisan. There's 4 months that Nehemiah takes to prepare. He's praying during that time. He's seeking the Lord. He builds a coalition of people to support him. But he comes up with this plan. It takes him some time. There is nothing wrong with taking some time, some prayerful time, to come up with a plan on how to that fits your situation. Obviously, if it's a delay tactic, then that's not helpful. But if it's just, if you don't have to take immediate next day action, right? Take time, go to God in prayer, search out scriptures, prepare yourself, make a plan, but set a date. I thought this was really neat. When Nehemiah went to the king, he said, when are you going to go? How long are you going to be? And Nehemiah had an answer for that. This is when I'm going to go. This is how long I'm going to be. He had a 12-year window to accomplish what he wanted to go accomplish, and then I'll return. If you set a date, okay, March 1st or March 10th or whatever it is, and you say on March 10th, we're going to start on this plan, you can pray for success So when you start, you are ready, right? You can do take preparation time. So you need to define success, set goals that acknowledge God's way in Scripture, right? And so here are some goals. Here are some things I want to accomplish, and I got those things out of Scripture. So the Scripture says, okay, you need to do this on a daily basis. All right, so here's a daily goal for myself. So set scrolls that reflect Scripture. Nehemiah 1:11, pray for success and wisdom, but you also see other people are praying for him. Nehemiah 2:7-6, the king says, where are you going to go? How long are you going to be? Nehemiah has an answer, and then he says, and also I'm going to need these permissions and these other things so I can accomplish what I need to accomplish when I get there. Have a real plan. Think it through. Think through the steps. Nehemiah 2:4, be saturated in prayer. I can't emphasize that enough. He takes some time to pray, but then when he goes to the king asks him the question. He's like, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said, O king, why should I not be sad? His life was saturated in prayer. He had developed a habit. That's something we can do. Saturate our lives in prayer, and then go forth, right? Go. That's the important thing. So you take time to plan, take time to set it up, but then go. So here's a recap. First thing. We have our eyes opened, and we define, this is the defining quality of good soil. Second thing, we pray, and when we pray, we're seeking God's blessing by asking for it. Lord, please bless me in this. Scripture is seeking God's blessing through knowledge of His ways. And moving forward is taking wise action according to God's will. If you want to know, how do I change my ways? How do I take the next step? Here's the next step. Here's what we can do to move forward with repentance and move forward with putting God's ways into our life. If you're here this morning and your eyes have been opened and you say, I need to change some things, I need to repent, or you have not yet responded to the gospel call and you would like to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd love to help you with that if you come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.